So for our scripture reading, I'm going to add a paragraph to what's on the bulletin or maybe on the screen, because as I thought about this passage the last number of days, I said to myself, I really need to start at verse 22 in this reading from the Gospel of Luke. So before I read the scripture, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, you have given us a word that is a treasure, not only a word in the form of a book, but also the word in the form of a person whom we meet in that book. So through your Spirit, we ask that the reading and the reflection on your word may help to introduce us more clearly than at any time to the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So I'd like to read from the Gospel according to Luke, beginning with verse 22. So that's on the screen, will come later. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them.
Amen.
But seek his kingdom, and all these will be given you as well.
Amen.
Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Be dressed ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Dear people of God, a monk was traveling on foot. When he arrived at the edge of a village, he decided to spend the night under a tree. Soon a villager approached him. The stone, give me the precious stone, he said to the monk. What stone? The monk replied. Last night, the villager replied, an angel appeared to me in a dream and told me that on the edge of our village, in the evening, I would meet a monk who would be able to give me a precious stone that would make me rich for all time. The monk looked through his backpack and pulled out a stone. Probably this is the stone you have in mind, he said as he gave the villager the stone. A few days ago, I found it along the path in the forest. You may have it. The villager looked on the stone with amazement. It was a diamond, probably the biggest diamond in the whole world, because it was as big as the head of a man. The man took the stone and left. But the whole night long, he could not sleep. He tossed and turned in his bed. Early next morning, he got up and he returned to the monk and woke him. Will you please give me the wealth which allowed you so readily to give this wonderful diamond away? The monk had learned what the villager had to learn what the monk knew. Strive for the kingdom of God, and these things will be given to you as well.
Amen.
It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
So Jesus teaches here there are two ways, two attitudes to life.
Amen.
You can approach life constantly filled with fear and worries, or you can learn to live a life that is basically full of the trust
Amen.
That God gives his people. Now, fear can be a good thing.
Amen.
It can alert us to danger.
Amen.
If you're walking down a path in the forest somewhere and you notice a grizzly bear sniffing at your heels, yeah, you'd be afraid. I would. And then I would see what I could do to keep myself safe. We can think of many reasons that would cause us to fear. Understandably, will I still have a job tomorrow? Will we be in good health? Will we catch a miserable disease? I don't need to go on. You can fill a long list yourself of the kind of things where worries are very reasonable.
Amen.
Who am I to say to you, don't be afraid? And yet Jesus invites us to set those fears aside. He knows the harm that fears can do. And even better, he has an alternative for us. Now, fears can do a great deal of harm. Fears can bring out the worst in us. The person who fears that maybe tomorrow she will lose her job is going to have a very difficult time being a team player today.
Amen.
Fear can make us greedy. I'm afraid I won't have enough for when I retire, so I'm going to grasp everything that I can, and maybe I can still make the best of it. I want to nail my future down solid, and the devil take the hindmost. Fear can make us sick with worry when we know we don't have control over our lives. That can be scary. You can't change it, but it still will make you afraid. Fear can erode trust in other people, or even in God. So These words of Jesus are part of his teaching to us about possessions. The way we deal with things that we have or the money in the bank teaches us a lot about who we are. They may show that we are greedy people. They may show that we're afraid we might lose things that are so important to us, and then what will we do? And yet it doesn't really work. You can grasp for all you like. It doesn't really diminish our fears. Maybe. Jesus observed the crowd that was with him, and one of the things that he observed about them, that there was a lot of greed and concerns about possessions. He warned them about that because it is a vice that destroys even that certainty which we strive to achieve. Because all of us would like to have some stability in our lives, some certainty. When you are quite sure that you're in a position to pay your bills, that provides some certainty in your life. But if you're not sure, it can make you sweat pretty good. The farmer got a bumper crop, and he said, "This is good luck for me, and for me alone, so I'm going to build bigger barns." I don't know how you do that when you see the fields is ready for harvest. You still have to build the barns, but that's another story, I guess. But he's going to build barns and keep it all for himself. No longer any need about the future. Undoubtedly, Jesus saw people who behaved like that. And it's easy for me to imagine that there's sometimes those people, that's us. Because we can be very concerned about what we have or don't. But he teaches us that securing ourselves in this way from danger, it doesn't really work. We can make ourselves rich in our own eyes, in the eyes of other people, and still be poor in the eyes of God. That's what the villager saw. This monk sleeping under a tree was richer than he was when he had the big diamond in his house. So our possessions are our treasures, and therefore our hearts are hidden from ourselves. They're at loose ends. They have no anchor. If we have no greater refuge from the storms of life than our own control over life, we're not going to be able to weather many storms. But that's a hard lesson to learn. My nature, I'm a worrier. I'm really good at it. And some of you maybe can understand that too, but my wife says, "Oh, yeah, you don't need to worry so much. It's okay. The Lord's with you. Don't worry about it." Easy for you to say, sweetheart. Not so easy for me sometimes. We want to be able to see our security in life. That's also our pride. And we have this feeling, especially in our Western society, that the individual is on his or her own. That's that individualism that is such a powerful force in North American culture at present. So, especially south of the border, if you can't afford health insurance, well, tough for you. Don't count on me. That's that individualism. Do not strive for what you are to eat, says Jesus. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about the water in the well or whatever. So it's easy for us to say to Jesus, and I can imagine that listeners might have said, "Jesus, what are you talking about? That's not so easy, you know." With the good news of the kingdom of God, God breaks through those selfish kinds of cycles because we belong together. We are a community.
Amen.
We can count on each other. That's part of what it means to be kingdom of God. It breaks through that cycle of individualism, of greed, of worry and fear. God wants to see those kinds of things really as useless. For those of us who are natural worriers, it sounds like a great idea, but a bit like a pipe dream too. There's enough for me to worry about to keep me grumpy about three quarters of the time. There comes a time when worrying moves from being an understandable reaction to life's distress and it becomes sinful. Because we're told, do not worry. And when we do it anyhow, we're doing something we're told not to do. Are we trust impaired? That's not good. The invitation to not fear is God's offer of the comfort of life that comes from being in the kingdom of God. So we understand if only we can accept Jesus' invitation to not worry, we would be greatly comforted. Finally, we would learn to live that this day is enough for itself. One day at a time. And we could be at peace more readily. Let tomorrow take care of itself. These words are not only words of comfort, they're also words of hope. Fear is filled with despair. The invitation to let go of fear is an open invitation and an open door to a good future. The future that God is preparing for His people through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes. Setting aside fear, letting go of a hurtful past, seeing beyond the pain of the present, and learning to be certain of God's good future for us gives birth to hope. We are a people of hope. The answer is that Jesus knows something about God that we forget. It is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom.
Amen.
God is the kind of God who likes to give good things. He likes to give grace. He likes to help people. He likes to come to our side. He likes to be with us.
Amen.
He gives us all that we need to break through some of the miserable cycles of life. So we might think of God as being an old man in the sky with a beard who just sits and watches things go by, indifferent to our needs, or even a harsh judge or a cruel taskmaster. That's not what God is like. God gives pleasure from giving gifts. And sometimes we experience that in life, ourselves. There may be times when you can do something and the other person maybe doesn't even know that you did it, or it doesn't matter, but you're glad to do it. Some years ago, my wife was very sick. And I said to myself, boy, am I going to be able to provide what she needs? And what I discovered, that when I did things that she hardly was aware of at the time, I enjoyed doing it. Have you ever experienced that? To be able to help someone who can do nothing in return and say, wow, this was neat. I'm happy to be able to do it.
Amen.
We're still in that kind of a situation, my wife and I. She needs my help a lot. And she often doesn't seem to accept from me that I'm really happy to do it. She thinks, I should be doing this. No, we're in it together. It's good. Jesus gives generous gifts of His own life,
Amen.
His own suffering, His own death, His own resurrection.
Amen.
So Jesus has earned the right in his death on the cross to tell us that instead of gathering up treasures for ourselves, we must lay them up in heaven. And if we lay them up there, our hearts will follow.
Yeah.
If your treasure is in a bank vault, that's where your heart is. If your treasure is in heaven, that is where your heart is.
Yeah.
Sometimes those instructions from Jesus make us shake our heads in unbelief. Does Jesus mean that literally? Can't we at least keep some of our stuff? What Jesus does here is over against the individualism that comes so naturally to us, he invites us to generosity. And in generosity, we are most godlike. Because the one thing that we know that's marvelous about God is his generosity.
Amen.
And we can learn something of that from who God is. So the reason to ask, how much should we give to the poor? Jesus means, at a minimum, we cannot turn a blind eye or a closed fist to people in need. Because that would not be an imitation of God. And that which we give away without thought of gain, we haven't written them in an accounting book or anything like that, our reward becomes the future treasure in heaven.
Amen.
Laying up treasure. All the listeners would have understood that's a synonym for almsgiving. The Christian who hears these words will understand we have to be in the world in another way than a worldly way. Let us pray.
Amen.
Father in heaven, when the place in life for us has become pleasant, help us to be modest, humble, and generous.
Amen.
When the road is tough, full of obstacles, through your grace, help us not to despair.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Let us sing together from the Lift Up Your Hearts book, number 852. Faith begins by letting go.